Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The Michigan legislature's lame duck session is wrapped up. Here to talk about that are Susan Demas. She's the publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. And Ken Sikkema. He's senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican legislative leader, both on Skype. Big news seemed to be the energy deal, more choice in the market, increased renewable energy mandates. First, I should mention Susan is at the airport, so it might be a little noisy. Susan, who's happy with this deal and who's not?
It was a very last-minute deal, and basically, I think it's one of those things where nobody is going to be fully happy with it, but it was enough to get it across the finish line. You had enough in there for the energy choice advocates who were very, very skeptical going into lame duck. I'm not sure that the utilities are completely happy with it, but in the end, people decided that it was worthwhile to pursue this rather than let this hang over the legislature's head going into the next term.
Ken, I know that the utilities were worried about continuity of service. I'm wondering, what did they get and what does it mean for people? What is it going to mean for the electricity rates that consumers pay?
The utilities, primarily DTE and Consumers Energy, were primarily concerned about reliability going forward and the ability to build new generation because they're closing a lot of old, small coal-fired plants. They're pretty happy with the package. It actually is getting widespread praise. I think one of the big stories out of it is the environmental groups didn't like the bill that came out of the Senate. They're pretty happy with what ultimately got to the governor's desk. And, you know, that in terms of lame duck, a lot of things were left on the table. I do think the legislature and the governor redeemed themselves by passing this energy package.
The Free Press reports the legislature passed bills to require the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality to notify cities within 3 business days if there are problems with drinking water. It used to be 30 days. This is, of course, a response to the Flint water debacle. Susan, has the governor given any indication whether he'll sign this legislation?
I'm not sure that the governor has. A lot of times he keeps things pretty close to the vest. I haven't seen any indications that this seems to be in danger, but I guess we'll have to see.
Was there much debate before this was passed?
No, and actually that's kind of been the mark of this lame duck session. You haven't been having these marathon debates. I mean, even with the energy package that was, you know, so controversial and had so many moving parts, when they finally got the numbers and voted, it went pretty smoothly. So I think that, you know, it's definitely a different type of lame duck than we've seen in the past.
Ken, there are a lot of water systems in the state. Some of them will have minor violations. Some of them continue to have minor violations over time. Will we be seeing a lot more notices or just faster notices of exceeding standards?
Well, I think one of the results or legacies of Flint is that the whole issue of drinking water in terms of infrastructure, what's under the ground, aging pipes, the issue of lead is going to be a big issue going forward in the new legislature. You know, it's hard to say at this point exactly the kind of legislation that'll pass, but the special committee, the legislative committee, made many recommendations on this front. The advisory task force appointed by the governor made many recommendations. Some of them were passed in this session, but a lot of them are still on the table, and I think you're going to see a lot of attention on that in the new legislature.
The Indigent Defense Commission has been reestablished by the legislature, given new duties, including making decisions as to whether someone charged is poor enough to get an appointed lawyer. That decision is with the courts right now. Susan, what will that mean for defendants?
I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out in a practical sense. You know, we have seen some reforms in recent years because it's such a vast problem, and we really have a patchwork system in this state where in some counties the indigent defense system runs very well. In others, it's pretty abysmal. And we have seen more interest by the legislature in trying to shore things up and make things more uniform. Ideally, that's what happens out of this legislation.
Ken, there are a lot of courts, only one commission. Is this going to delay court cases because the commission has to take time to determine whether a public attorney or a publicly funded attorney is available?
I don't know, Lester, if that'll be the impact. What's interesting to me about the legislative attention to indigent defense and the commission is how conservative legislators have kind of embraced it over the last few years, kind of insisting that, you know, everybody gets a defense regardless of your economic and income status. And so that's kind of what's interesting to me. What people would normally think would be, well, you know, just liberals are going to be concerned about this. Actually, it's conservative legislators that have kind of led the charge on this.
Twice now, voters decided against allowing wolf hunting in Michigan. The legislature voted to allow wolf hunting and then added an appropriation, $1 million, to fight Asian carp, and that means voters can't challenge the law. Susan, what does this say about the legislators' view of the people's will?
We've seen this before where with certain controversial pieces of legislation, they've made it referendum proof. The wolf hunting issue in particular, we've seen the legislature overrule the public in the past. Clearly, this is a big priority for Republicans in the legislature. It's not that we have a huge wolf population in Michigan, but Senator Tom Casperson, who ran for Congress, actually showed up with a wolf hat on his head. This is a huge issue for some people, and it seems like, you know, regardless of how the public has stated its opinion, this is something that the legislature is willing to go to the mat for.
Ken, there were a lot of proposals during the lame duck session, some of them controversial. They didn't make it through. What do you expect to happen with those when the new session of the legislature convenes next year?
Well, some of these big ones will come back. Teacher pension, auto no-fault, criminal justice reform, the issue of legacy costs when it comes to retiree health care, retirees from local units of government. But a couple of other factors I think are going to come into play here. One is the new House, they're going to want to kind of assert themselves and come up with new ideas. The new Republican majority under a new speaker, and you don't know what that's going to look like. And then the Trump presidency is going to have an impact just simply because of the stated desire on the part of both president-elect and the Republican Congress to allow states to make a lot of key decisions when it comes to some of these federal programs like Medicaid. And I think that's going to have an impact on the new session going forward.
Ken Sikkema is Senior Policy Fellow at Public Sector Consultants. Susan Demas is publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. Safe travels, Susan, and thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lester.
Thanks, Ken.